I was asked to speak about how to re-energize your council in Presidia through recruiting and evangelization, so that'll be our topic tonight. A couple days before I left Virginia to come out here, somebody sent me an email, a little joke, and it mentioned Chicago, so I figured I might as well share it with you. Okay, a man left Chicago, where there was a great deal of snow, and went down south for a vacation. His wife, on a business trip, expected to join him the next day. After settling at a Florida hotel, he decided to send his spouse a brief email message. However, the husband had misplaced her email address. Nevertheless, relying on his memory, he typed in the information. Unfortunately, the man had one letter wrong and sent his communication instead to an elderly widow of a preacher who had died the day before. And when the grief-stricken woman checked her email, she screamed and fainted. The members of her family rushed into the room and discovered these words on the monitor: "Dearest wife, got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Since we're in Chicago, I felt I should share that with you. It has been a great weekend. This is Pentecost weekend. Tomorrow is the great feast day of Pentecost. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will re-energize all of our Presidia and the entire Sinodis area. So the topic here is going to be first on recruiting and then on evangelizing. Well, let me just give you a couple principles about recruiting. One of them is called the law of averages. The law of averages. Which means that, let's say, if you invite 10 people to the Legion and you get one, that means in order to get 10 new people, you just have to invite 100 people. See how simple it is for recruiting? I'm not sure if that's the exact ratio. I imagine it is. You know, if you personally talk to 10 people, you know, and explain the Legion and invite them, I bet you would get one. So the best way to recruit your members is just to invite 100 people. And that way you'll get a brand new Presidium. We get 10 new members. Now there are a couple of very good people in sales that you should write down these guys' names because they are wonderful. And I think that their principles in sales can help you in evangelization as well as in recruiting new members. One of my favorite writers and speakers was a man named Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. And Jim was involved in sales training and motivation and delegation and management. And Jim Rohn died a couple years ago, but his cassette tapes and CDs are available. And in training a lot of his salespeople, he uses things like the law of averages and some very good principles. And we can use these principles in recruiting and evangelization. Somebody I just discovered, about a month ago, is a man named Michael Klaus. Michael Klaus is also a genius when it comes to sales and motivation and how to build teams and how to help people. And so he's, again, a wonderful speaker and writer. Michael Klaus, he can use a lot of his principles in evangelization and recruiting new members. One of my favorite books of all time, I try to read it once a year, is by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? How many of you have read that? I heard Frank Duff read that book as well. Remember, the great Father John Hardin recommended every priest read that book as well, so I try to read it once a year, because they're basic principles of dealing with people. And you can use these principles when you recruit new members and when you evangelize. A lot of good principles in that. One of my other favorite writers from a Christian point of view is Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar is wonderful. He's a great, you know, good, solid Christian man. But again, good principles of sales that you can apply to selling the faith and the spiritual life. Another favorite author of mine is a man named Og Mandino. Og Mandino wrote about 15 or 20 books, like The Greatest Salesman in the World, Part 1 and 2. And he has these beautiful Christian themes in his writings. So Og Mandino, wonderful writer. He died about maybe 10 years ago. But you can use these principles to help build up the Legion and share the faith with others and recruit new members. So those are just some of the natural ways to recruit members. But of course, we most importantly use spiritual means to recruit new members. So if you notice in the Legion Handbook, there's an excellent chapter. It's a very short chapter, page 198 in the handbook, on the recruitment of new members. And it tells us that every legionary shall see it as a part of his or her duty to win new members. If the legion has been a blessing to yourself, shall not one seek to bring that blessing to others? So, if it's been a blessing to us, we want to share that blessing. If you go to a great restaurant, you share it. You tell people, oh, that was a great restaurant. You see a great movie, you tell people. So if you belong to a great organization, you want to share that and tell people. So one of the things that I try to do in recruiting members when I was at Christendom College, when I was at the seminary and the different parishes I've been in, is first begin with prayer. That's the most important thing. Remember what the Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are scarce. Pray. That's what Jesus says. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more harvesters to help. So it has to begin with prayer. So you can make holy hours, go down on your knees before the Blessed Sacrament, make a holy hour each week for new members. You can just do this on your own. And when you pray your rosary, you can pray for new members. You can, again, have masses said for new members. There's so many things you can do. Adoration, Divine Mercy Chaplet, the rosary, getting masses said, offering your own mass and communion for new members. So it has to begin with prayer. Second, you want to explain the Legion. Not just invite somebody, but give them a few ideas about what the Legion is. Tell them about the Legion and explain it. And then three, personally invite them. So pray is number one, explain the Legion to people, and then personally invite them. Number four is bring them along with you. It's one thing to invite people. It's another thing to say, I will pick you up at 7:15. That helps a lot, right? And just try to pick somebody up and bring them to the meeting. That's how you know they're going to be there. You just have to pick them up and drag them along. And then number five, after that first meeting, you need to follow up. You need to call them a couple days later. Thanks so much for coming to the meeting. I'll pick you up next week at 7:15 again, right? You need to follow up. That's one of the jobs of the vice president, is to make sure you're always following up on the guests. See, when you get a guest, that's a very precious thing. You want to then follow up on that guest and call them and encourage them to come again. So one of the things that I have found very helpful in recruiting is to use these two pamphlets. They're very inexpensive. One is called 10 Benefits of Legion Membership, and the other one is Why I Love the Legion. I'm very happy that you have, that Lily has all these in stock. These are about 16 short testimonies of what the Legion has done in these people's lives. See, that's so powerful. Like when all of you came up and shared your testimony, that's powerful. See, you can't argue with a testimony. So when you give people your testimony and tell what the Blessed Mother has done for you, like those of you who just shared a few minutes ago, you know, you can actually, you know, put that in one or two sentences, and that's your best recruiting. Just what Our Lady has done for you, what Jesus has done for you in your life. So this is a great pamphlet. So make sure you get this in the back of every Catholic church in your diocese. Obviously ask permission of the pastor first and say, Father, can we put a stack of these in the back? So you should order hundreds of these, thousands of these, drive around, put them in every church, and make sure that you fill out the date and time of the meeting. So just get a sticker on your computer, type it up, and peel labels and put labels on here so people know the date and time of your meeting. So this is very important. Yes, the bulletin is a great idea too. I've always found that you usually will get at least one member a year will join the Legion because of the bulletin, which is good, so it's worth it. You know, it's better to have it in the bulletin than not. But as was mentioned earlier, personal contact is the key. The more personal, the better. The less personal, yeah, it's good. So So you'll get it in the bulletin, but these are very helpful. Not only put these in the back of church, but give them out personally and individually to people that you want to invite. The other pamphlet is called The 10 Benefits of Legion Membership. Because people always buy benefits. When you buy a car, you're buying the benefit of that particular kind of car, the gas mileage or the different things that it comes with. So people buy benefits. Why do they send their kids to a particular school? Because of the benefits of the good academics or the good neighborhood or whatever. So people buy benefits. So the same thing with the Catholic faith. That's why I gave a talk one called The 5 Reasons to be Catholic. And that CD is about the Eucharist, about the Blessed Mother, about the Church's moral teachings, about the 7 sacraments, etc. So you have to give people reasons to become Catholic. So you want to sell benefits of becoming Catholic and show people why they should become Catholic and all their graces and blessings that we have in the faith. So you want to explain to people what are the benefits of being in the Legion. And let me just very quickly just highlight these. Number one, it says it can help you grow hair. Remember that one? And this is a true story. And I got this personally from Father Canon Ripley from England. After World War II, he was working with some soldiers that had been, some of them had been in explosions. One particular German soldier had been in a tank when an explosion took place, and he lost all his hair. He was never able to grow it back. And Father Ripley said, please join the Legion. He says, oh, I'm not sure. But do you think if I did, the Blessed Mother would help me grow my hair back? And Canon Ripley says, well, you never know. So this fellow joined the Legion. And 3 months later, he had the most beautiful head of hair. I tell my dad that. He says it had never helped him in 55 years. But the idea is that when you give something to Our Lady, she gives you something in return. When you join the Legion, maybe your son or daughter will come back to the faith, or your grandkids will come back to the faith. See, you can't outdo Our Lady in generosity. You do something for her, she's a good mother. She will bless you and pray for you and give you special graces. Number two, the Legion is a school for saints. Already within 90 years of the Legion, we already have 3 members up for beatification: Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, Alfie Lamb. Let people know that. That's a great blessing in the Legion. We've had martyrs, some people say at least 4,000 martyrs in China, and the numbers might be more like 40,000 martyrs in China. And we have other saintly people that are up for beatification one day, I'm sure. So it's a school for saints. So if people want to grow closer to God, the Legion can help them. It can help them fulfill their vocation. Vatican II says, and canon law says, that every Catholic is obliged by their baptism to be apostolic. Because we're baptized and confirmed, we have to share the faith. And oftentimes, unless we have something like the Legion, we're just going to remain stagnant. We need something to get us out there knocking on doors and visiting people. Very few people will ever go door to door by themselves. Very few people will go to Millennium Park by themselves and just talk to people. If it wasn't for the Legion, we wouldn't be doing it. So we need that to encourage us. The Legion keeps its members young. You know, as you know, Father McGrath always looked 20 years younger than he was, and Frank Duff was still riding his bicycle up until the day that he died. And all our legionaries here, Gwen and so many others, well, they look so much younger than they actually are. So I always tell people, join the Legion of Mary, it'll take 10 years off your life. You will look 10 years younger. I know she does. It took 30 years off of her life. So I just proves my point. Number 5, the Legion teaches us our Catholic faith through the rosary, the prayers, the spiritual reading, the allocutia, the discussions, a great way to deepen your faith. So these are what you want to just highlight, little bullet points when you're talking to people. How it can help us become holy, it can keep us young in spirit, it can help us learn our faith. Number 6, it gives us wonderful friendships, like this is your Legion family, so you are brothers and sisters. Father McGrath said he wasn't very good at remembering names. He said, that's why I joined the Legion of Mary, because I could go around to any part of the world and say, hello, sister. Hello, brother. He said he never had to learn anybody's name. He said, that's the genius of the Legion. Hello, brother and sister. See? Isn't that great? But it's a family. It's a Legion family, and you can always have your Legion family. Okay? And then it helps us to face Judgment Day, because remember Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was sick, you visited me. In prison, you came to see me. See, people are hungry for God. They're hungry for the Eucharist. People are thirsty for love. And so you are doing the spiritual works of mercy through the Legion, which will help you on your Judgment Day. Jesus will say to you, yes, when I was in that nursing home, you came to see me. When I was away from the church, you brought me back. When I was, you know, away from the Lord, you brought me closer. Then, of course, it helps us to save souls. And St. James has that beautiful passage. If any one of you should stray from the truth and someone bring it back, he should know whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his life, whoever will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So one of the great blessings of helping to save souls is that you get extra graces to save your own soul. And then this number 10 I like, it has to do with in November, every presidium has a mass said for all the deceased active and auxiliary members. So that's a great blessing that we're not sure exactly how many presidia there are worldwide. It's maybe 300,000, maybe 600,000. But the good thing about that is that every November, every presidium has a mass said for all the deceased active and auxiliary members of the Legion. So it's best to die around October 31st, right? Because November 1st, you have all those 600,000 masses. So if you're not out of purgatory by the end of November, don't blame the Legion of Mary. It's your own fault. Because if you can't get out after 600,000 masses, you know, it's not too good. So anyway, these are two excellent pamphlets that are very inexpensive to use for recruiting. One of my other favorite ones, and this has gotten a lot of people into the Legion, the story of Idel Quinn. The booklet, Woman of Faith, it's a small booklet. It's only 60 pages, and they're very inexpensive. And these are great to give to teenagers, especially teenage girls. Give these to college students. It's very powerful to young adults. If you see a young adult at Mass, just hand them this and say, this is a gift for you. So give these out in large quantities, and it is a wonderful book. And if they read this, they'll be inspired, they'll learn about the Legion, and I think that they would join the Presidium. The other things that I like to use in recruiting new members is some CDs, and I think Father McGrath's CD is one of the best. Father Aidan McGrath, we have a CD that's called just The Legion of Mary in China. It was a talk he gave at Christendom College in 1991. I know at least five of you got one today because I have, well, 5 or 10 copies over on the table that are all gone, which is good. But that one, if you want to really inspire somebody to learn about the Legion, let them listen to that CD. Father McGrath on the Legion in China. Because he talks about Mao Zedong and how the Legion was crushed, became public enemy number one. It talks about the stories of the Chinese legionaries. That is a great CD. I give that to every guest that comes to one of our meetings. The first time they come, I say, please listen to this. Or I give it to somebody that I'm trying to get into the Legion and just say, here, just listen to this amazing story, because he tells all these true stories of what happened to him in prison. The other CD, which I think is great, is Father Robert Bradshaw's CD. Some of you knew Father Bradshaw. He was a priest who died in Siberia about 5 years ago. He had started going into Russia in 1968, doing PPCs, sort of incognito in Russia. And he did that for, about 20 years. And then he went to Iceland and was a Legion priest in Iceland. And then he finally went to Siberia. His talk is on the Legion of Mary in Russia, Iceland, and China. So he sort of tells some Father McGrath stories, and he tells about the Legion in Russia and the Legion in Iceland. That is a wonderful CD. Again, make sure you get copies. Some of you got them today. The other one that could be helpful is a little talk I gave called The 10 Benefits of Being in the Legion, and that CD you might want to give out to people. That sort of goes into detail what I just gave you in a brief overview. But that one could be helpful too, just to say these are reasons why you may want to consider joining the Legion. The last thing that I found helpful too, and I know all of you have gotten it today, was on my book, Inside the Legion of Mary. When I've given that to people, about at least a half a dozen of them have joined the Legion after reading the book. So that's something to keep in mind too, that there, since it explains the Legion and the true devotion and what the meeting is like and the assignments, that could be helpful as well. So anyway, I would just recommend with recruiting, again, pray, explain the Legion, invite people, bring them up, pick them up, bring them to the meeting, and then do follow up with them. So recruiting is so important. If we don't recruit, we will eventually die off. So we need to continue to recruit. So first begins with prayer, but then we have to actually get out there and ask people. So before we go into some question and answer time, let me just share a few words about evangelization. Because again, you want to try to revitalize your council, your Presidia, by recruiting new members, getting new blood in here, especially the young people, which we talked about earlier, with juniors and intermediates and college students and young adults. So don't be afraid to ask people. Don't be afraid to invite them to your meeting. And Jesus says, you know, ask and you shall receive. You knock and the door shall be open. You just have to keep. Those words in the Greek New Testament indicate keep asking, keep praying, keep knocking, keep seeking. So it's not a one-time thing, it's an ongoing thing. So what about evangelization? What can we do to revitalize our councils and Presidia through evangelization? Well, what is evangelization? It is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus and His church. The Legion has always said there's three different types of evangelization. You have conversion work, conservation work, and consolation work. Conversion work is door-to-door evangelization. Conversion work is crowd contact, book barrow, inviting people to become Catholic. Father Bradshaw in Russia said that he went like a whole year, and when they would go visit door-to-door in Iceland, yeah, they would be very nice and very polite, but they never got around really to asking people to become Catholic. So he said one night, he said, I want everybody to go out and just tell them, ask everybody when you knock on the door, obviously do the introduction and say who you are and get to know them a little bit. But before you leave, say one thing. Has the thought of becoming a Catholic ever occurred to you? That was Frank Duff's favorite line. Has the thought of becoming a Catholic ever occurred to you? And I'd like to personally give you an invitation to become a member of the Catholic Church from Jesus. And so if you say that, and he said that night, two people said, yes, I'll become a Catholic. In a full year, nobody had said yes. But in one night, two people said, yeah, I'll take you up on that. And that really got his attention. And he said, you know, we obviously have to do the proper introductions and the friendliness and the kindness. But don't leave by unless you say, has the thought of becoming a Catholic ever occurred to you, I'd like to give you an invitation from Jesus to become part of His church. So don't hesitate to say that. So that's conversion work, is door-to-door, crowd contact, etc. Conservation work, this means getting back our lapsed Catholics, conserving them, getting them back to church, reaching out, inviting them back to confession, getting their marriages blessed and validated, bringing them back to church. And conservation work can be done. You know, you'll meet them on door-to-door. You'll meet them in all sorts of works that you do. And then there is consolation works, things such as visiting shut-ins and nursing homes and those things along those lines. So every Presidium, if possible, should try to do as many different kinds of works as possible, because that's how you'll attract the most number of members. If you're only doing one work, you're going to limit yourself on the number of different kinds of people that might be attracted to the Presidium. So if you have a lot of different works, like door-to-door and prison work and nursing home and Pilgrim Virgin, etc., the more variety, the more people will be attracted to your meeting. And one other thought about consolation work, it's that even in consolation work, consider it conversion work. Okay? You might say, oh, I'm just going to the nursing home. If you go with the right spirit of let's say, meeting people that are unchurched or people that don't go to any church or people that are not Catholic, invite them as well to become Catholic. I remember, well, just last year, we had two converts in the nursing home. One lady I baptized, the other one I brought into the church, and that was just from the Legion, just visiting door to door in the nursing home, just going from one room to another and making friendly contact, praying with people. And when people expressed interest, they instructed them week after week, month after month, and when they were ready and I interviewed them, yeah, they were ready to become Catholic. So we brought two people last year into the Catholic faith in the nursing home. So even if you're doing consolation work, you should do it with the spirit of conversion. Same thing in prison ministry, same thing in, let's say, Pilgrim Virgin statue or Sacred Heart enthronements. It's always possible to be able to turn the conversation into inviting people to come into the church or to come back to the church. Now, just before we open it up for questions, let me just share with you some works that some of my Presidii have done over the years. In my last parish, I was there for 10 years as the founding pastor, so that was a great privilege. And we, by the time I left, we had 10 Presidia in the parish, which was a great blessing. One junior, one intermediate, one Spanish, one for the moms, and then we had five or six other adult Presidia. Some met in the morning, some met in the evening, but it took 10 years. It wasn't like we started all, it's like basically every year we more or less started a new Presidium. It was a long haul, it was very slow. Even in Virginia, you know, recruiting is tough, it's not easy. You might think, oh, it's so easy in different parts of the country. It's never easy anywhere, unless you're in Korea or something, like South Korea, they're incredible. In fact, I should mention, because the talk is about re-energizing your Presidium and your council, that the growth of the Legion throughout the world is remarkable. You might not see it in America, but for example, these statistics are from 1995, so these are 17 years old, and Brazil had 400,000 active members. This is 1995. South Korea had 350,000 active members. Okay? Compare that to 32,000 active members in America. Korea had 10 times the number of active members. Zaire, 300,000. The Philippines, 200,000 active members. Nigeria, 150,000. Angola, 100,000. Uganda, 80,000. I can leave this up here afterwards if you wanted to take a look. India, 60,000. Kenya, 40,000. Colombia, 40,000. USA, 32,000. Venezuela, 30,000. The West Indies, the Caribbean, 25,000. So that's very encouraging when you hear these numbers, especially Africa and the Philippines and Brazil and, again, Korea and different parts of Africa. So it's very encouraging when you hear these numbers. And in our diocese, we have a Korean parish. They have 25 Presidia in the one parish. In Korea, it's very common to have 80 or 90 Presidia in one parish. Father McGrath told us that all the time. Like many parishes had their own commitium in one parish, or their own curia in one parish. Some of them, again, 90 Presidia in one parish is not uncommon in Korea. So again, that's very encouraging. I was blessed, I had 10. But again, it was slow going. You know, it took about 10 years to get to that point. So it's not easy, but we always had members doing door-to-door, which is one of the greatest works you could do. I would often give my legionaries list of families where I didn't see them for a while, or maybe they didn't have any record of them. Maybe they didn't use the envelopes and just didn't see them. So I'd get them to go visit them and just see if they had moved or if they were going to a different parish or if they had just stopped going to church. Another work that we did was giving them couples that were married but not in the church, invalid marriages. So that again is very delicate work, very difficult work. Because when you go to those visits, you don't go up and say, "Hi, we're here because you're not married in the church." You basically do it like, "Hi, we're visiting all the families in the parish just to say hello on behalf of Father. Is there anything we can do for you? We're here to make friends with everybody. We're here to see if there's anything we can do." And then you get into a conversation of how long have you been in the parish? Or, both of you Catholic? Or, did you all get married here at the church? Or where did you get married? And they can say, "Well, we didn't get married in the church." And then they can take it from there about talking to the priest about getting their marriage blessed in the church. Another good work was visiting new parishioners. We would get the list every month of the new families that joined the parish and send the legionaries out just to welcome them and give them the Sacred and Immaculate Heart of Mary plaques, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary plaques from the Men of the Sacred Heart in Cincinnati. They're only $1 a piece for these beautiful wooden plaques. So Pilgrim Virgin Statue was another work that we would do. And that's a great work because it gets you in the home, praying the rosary with families. Sacred Heart Throwments is great work. Usually when we took the statue on the last day, that's when we would do the enthronement. A book barrow is great work. Crowd contacts, state fairs, setting up booths and tables at a state fair. A prison work can be very effective. I did that, Monsignor Bliss and I did that for 4 years in our college days at Christendom. A neat work too is setting up Catholic information tables even after Sunday Masses, which is good because you can evangelize all the people that come to Mass on Sunday, especially at Christmas and Easter. You might get permission to set up a book barrow or Catholic information table in the back of your church, in the back of your vestibule, with rosaries, miraculous medals, active and auxiliary membership, leaflets, guides to confession. Because there are many Catholics that come to Mass, but they're uncatechized. They just don't know their faith. They come on Sunday, or they come at Christmas and Easter. And I think we really need to, use more CDs in our evangelization. When we do door-to-door, we contact the Mary Foundation, and we get the Scott Hahn Conversion CD, which is in the history of the Catholic Church, that is the most produced CD of any talk in the Catholic Church, Scott Hahn's Conversion. And you can get it for about maybe 50 cents a piece if you order a large number from the Mary Foundation in New Jersey. And we give that when we go door to door. We give it out as if anybody has some interest or some desire to learn more about the Catholic faith, we give them that CD. Jeff Cavins has a great one with Catholic Lighthouse called "I'm Not Being Fed." That's what you want to give to fallen away Catholics who have joined other denominations. You say, "Oh, I left the Catholic Church because I'm not being fed." That's a great CD to give people. You'll have to talk to Lighthouse to find out what the best price they can give you on that. They might be able to get it down to like $1.90 or $1.70. It depends on how many you buy, but they might be able to reduce that. And if you say you're going to give them out in large quantities, like give every Protestant Scott Hahn's CD and every fallen away Catholic Jeff Cavins CD, then they might be able to cut you a special deal if you order a lot of them. You say, mention Legion of Mary, mention that this is what you want to do. So they maybe give you the best price that they can. So again, another good thing, don't forget RCIA follow-ups. Get the list of people that became Catholic and visit them. You'll find that some of them have not yet connected or gotten involved in the church, so get them involved in the Legion as active or auxiliary members. So anyway, let's open it up now for your questions and comments and see if there's anything we can help answer in regard to recruiting new members. or regarding evangelization? I'll repeat it, don't worry. Yeah, the question is, what do you do when you're at the nursing home and you come across people that have dementia or Alzheimer's? And let's say they were, you know, born and raised Catholic. And the main thing is to keep visiting them, and especially, you know, if they're not doing well, call the priest and get the priest to anoint them, to give them the last rites, to give them the apostolic pardon, and to make sure they're enrolled in the brown scapular. Because our good friend, Monsignor Bliss's night, our friend is Father Joe DeLuca, who goes around the country setting up adoration chapels. He says one of the best things you can do is to get anybody that's dying, get them the sacraments and get that brown scapular around their neck. Okay, that's what you want to do. Get that brown scapular on them and get them anointed. And of course, they should be enrolled in the brown scapular. Hopefully, the priest could do that. So the Legion is very valuable because my legionaries tell me if they visit every week to these different nursing homes. They'll say, Father, so-and-so, she's not doing too well. Can you get over and get to see her? So I'll go over, do the anointing, obviously the last rites, the apostolic pardon, enroll the person in the brown scapular. So that's what we do, even if they have dementia or Alzheimer's. You should really be making use of the green scapular as well. The green scapular, again, does not need an enrollment, but you can get these very inexpensively, get them blessed, and then maybe pin them to their, maybe an article of clothing, or just place it in, tape it to the wall, whatever you want to do, maybe a staple gun, I'm just teasing. tape it to the wall. So that's very helpful as well, the green scapular. The main thing is keep track of them. If they make a turn for the worse, then get the priest in there to give them the sacraments. And, you know, many people, you know, if you've been dealing with them and talking with them, it's up to the priest whether he feels that they're ready to come into the church if you've been preparing them to come into the Catholic faith. So it's up to the priest to make that judgment call. Yes? The question is, you go see the priest, and the priest will say, yeah, I'm interested in Legion, but you have to go talk to the parish council. The main thing is go and talk to the parish council, be very friendly, be very nice, make sure you know the bulletin backwards and forwards, and say, yes, I see that, you know, you have so many wonderful organizations in the parish, you're doing this and this and this. The Legion can maybe do a couple things. You could suggest some things that maybe are not being done already. But as my dad always said, that in every parish, he believes that there's a handful or a group of people that are destined to become holy through the Legion of Mary. That's their vocation. Some people have a vocation to a different organization or a different spirituality or a different movement. But he always felt that in every parish, there's always a group of people that are called to become holy through the Legion. So you want to give those people an opportunity. So the main thing is not to threaten the parish council or not to be threatened by them, but to just let them know that it's an organization that's not going to cost the parish any money, and it's going to, you know, especially if you can go with some of their own parishioners. Like if you can go to the pastor or to the parish council with some of their own people, that makes a big difference. So you're not an outsider. You get people from within to say, we would like to join. And then try to find a void and fill it. Let's say nobody's doing census work or door-to-door. Maybe nobody's doing a particular thing like welcoming new parishioners or Pilgrim Virgin or Sacred Heart enthronements. So find something that they're not doing and try to fill that void. Yes.
Yes, getting back to nursing homes, a resident asked me once, could I become Catholic? I said, yes, you can, I do believe. So I went back to my pastor, and I explained to him that a resident So I was kind of thinking, now, Father, could that be kind of like stereotyping in this regard to being an elderly person in a nursing home who wants to be something, and I know he wants.
Yeah.
But that's my feeling now. You know, if you take it back to the priest, and he tells you that, so then you just kind of say, okay, he'll be sure.
Right. Right. Well, that's a great, I'll repeat it for the sake of the recording as well as for those who couldn't hear. Let's say you're visiting somebody in the nursing home and they say they want to become a Catholic and you go talk to the pastor and he says, no, don't, you know, better not pursue that. Well, I would obviously keep visiting the person and keep instructing them and keep teaching them and try to get to know their family, because you don't want, let's say, the son or daughter to go ballistic because my father or mother became a Catholic without us knowing. I think you really need to be very sensitive to that and make sure that you get to know some of the family members if anybody visits. Maybe nobody even visits the person. But I think you do need to get to know the son or daughter just to give them a heads up and let them know, you know, just talk to them offline and say, do you think this is sincere or okay for us to continue talking about this? And then if the pastor does it, you could always say, well, you go back a month later or 2 months later and say, the person's still interested. Is it okay if I get the associate pastor perhaps to go visit this person just to do a little interview to see if it's, if he thinks it's possible? So I would not lose that. I would just look at other angles through a different priest. Just keep it. Okay, we have to end in about a minute, so let's just do a couple last questions, Father.
Someone, my brother McCabe, said, I had an incident where consolation became conservation, because it's always tough because priests are night person going to a nursing home or a hospital, and you're talking to one person and somebody else is a patient in the same room. You don't want to look like you're forcing your Catholic faith on them, but then you don't want to neglect them. So this was early February of Brother Drama. Is he here today? Yeah. And the one lady, I'm doing the same way as Blessing. This is a sacramental. Not that, not Christians can receive it. So then the woman said, you like to have your throat cut. But okay. So what's your religion? So I'm a Lutheran. Oh, what have I answered? I used to be Catholic, I was excommunicated. Well, that's code talk for marriage outside the church. I said, oh, yeah? Oh, well, yeah. I was divorced and I married a Lutheran fellow. I said, would you be interested in being Catholic? She said, yes. I said, where'd you lose your husband? I divorced him. So I said, let me call the chancery office just to make sure. She got to the sacrament confirmation of the Lutheran church or whatever. I said, I think a good confessional would be all you need. Well, the chancery office confirmed. All she was of sound mind. Now, this is what came. Sometimes there are people who are in the dotage, and they may be cradle Jews or Buddhists or whatever, and their kids will say, you're talking about, this woman was of sound mind. So, next time I went to see her, a roommate, who, by the way, is the first blind woman I offered. She turned it down with the lady in my parish. She's the first one to whom I gave a braille tester. But anyhow, the roommate was out of the room. I said, oh, Brother Drow, you've got to be out of the room now. I offered a confession. She said yes. And she got Holy Communion for the first time in 39 years. And it was just happenstance. Now, what I asked Father Petri was, I don't want to ever back down from one true faith. By the same token, you go to what someone calls themselves a Rob Protestant and say, you're going to be after Jesus who invites you to his church. You worry about the door slamming in your face or saying, even Catholics say, we're part of Christendom. We're part of the body somehow. So how do you do that without offending someone who's a devout Protestant saying, Jesus invited me to his church and we're in his church. So how do you deal with that?
Right. That's wonderful questions and comments. I would say that what I always try to do is build bridges first. Whenever you meet somebody who's a fellow believer, a good devout Christian, evangelical perhaps, or Baptist, you begin by showing what you have in common. Yes, we love Jesus, we love the Bible, we have the Ten Commandments, we have baptism, we have matrimony. So you want to talk about what we have in common, hopefully respect life views and marriage views that we would try to show in common. So you basically want to show all the things that you believe in, along with our other separated brethren, the Beatitudes, etc., etc. So you go through all that, and then what I always like to do, what Frank Duff recommends in his books, is just say, make sure you bring up the Eucharist. So just bring up the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Like Scott Hahn said, when he was a Protestant, he had the Bible, but it was like having the menu without eating the banquet. It's like having the menu without having the meal. Yes, you can look at the menu all you want, but you're still missing something. So what I try to do then is always bring up the Eucharist and bring up John chapter 6 and bring up Jesus says, this is my body. Doesn't say this symbolizes, this represents, that this is my body, this is the cup of my blood. So I try to at least plant the seed of the Eucharist, and then if we can get into a good discussion on that, then we can pursue other topics as well, such as Mary and the saints, all seven sacraments, such as confession and the beauty of all seven sacraments. And then I try to get into topics such as the history of the church, that the church has been around for 2,000 years. Peter was the first pope, Benedict number 265, just to plant little seeds about a little bit about the papacy, etc. So that's how I try to evangelize.
But you don't use that language as a basis for this church. That was my key question, because they might say, where are you in the church? What do you mean? But it was a word that I heard a little earlier in your presentation. That was something I can imagine instead of alarms for some people.
Yeah, if you say something to them and they come back and react a different way, well, then you have to take it down a different path. You just have to try to, you know, but the main thing is to get them to share and get them to talk. I ask them about their faith and what they believe and how often they go to church and et cetera. And then you can try to build some bridges with them and then take them a step further, some of the things that we have that they don't have. So again, thanks so much, everyone. And again, so many people have gotten my dad's CDs, which I'm so grateful. Some of you met him when he came out here over the years. Back in 1973, he went to Hollywood and he made his first album called Mary Songs. He wrote all the words and music. He sings on the CD. He went back in 1975 and made more Mary Songs. And that's volume two. And that's all together in one CD. And then he went back in 1985 and made two more CDs, Jesus Songs and Mary Songs 3. And Mother Teresa loved his music. They were her favorite songs. If you go to any of her convents around the world, my dad's music is in her books all over the world. And so she loved them. And after she died, some of Mother Teresa's nuns came over and met with my dad and showed them Mother Teresa's prayer books. And she had hand-copied his lyrics into her prayer book. And she read them as her meditations. And so they're again a very beautiful song. So I'm so glad that so many of you got his songs. He recorded them in a studio where Bing Crosby recorded White Christmas. So again, they're very, very beautiful. So that would be great. Yeah. So the question is, you go to a pastor and he says, we already have enough organizations, where are we doing that? And you basically, again, try to get across the point that we found that in every parish there is at least a handful of people that God is destined that they become holy through the Legion of Mary. Yes, all these people are becoming holy in these other ways, but there are some people out there that are called to become holy through the Legion. And let's give them a chance by at least starting it and see who shows up. And hopefully there is some work that the Legion could do that's not being done by anybody else, especially things like door-to-door or new parishioners or enthronements or Pilgrim Virgin statue. Yeah, one last question, then Gwen is going to come up and talk about the Eucharistic Congress, right? Go ahead.
I was out in Ireland one day, and my neighbor started talking to me. And it just came to me, I asked her, Edie, you make a good Catholic. And she almost fell over backwards, but her answer almost made me fall over. She said, well, I'll say one thing for you guys, you really stick together. And I thought about it, and I thought, if you are born into the Catholic Church, you practically have to pray again. Because think about it, we're, go to Mass, who do we really invite to our faith?
That's right. One fellow said, I've been married to my wife for 37 years, and I never once was asked, had I ever wanted to become a Catholic. Like sometimes a priest would say, by the way, have you ever thought about becoming a Catholic? And he said, as a matter of fact, I've wanted to for 30 years, but nobody ever invited me. So you going to say something? Is the wife in the nursing home as well?
No, she's not.
She's not, okay. Well, just try to befriend her, get as friendly to her as you can, get to talk to her so she begins to trust you. And so really, if you can, she doesn't come much to the nursing home. So I would just say keep visiting, keep instructing, keep preparing the person so that when the time comes, he may be able to come into the church. Okay, God bless you all. Thanks so much. Take care.